Well, hello and welcome everybody to the Heal It Show, where we dive deep into the principles that allow everybody to heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, healing isn't something that happens to us. It's something that awakens through us when we align with the intelligence of the body, the clarity of the mind, and the truth of the heart. I found this. Healing starts with awareness. It's noticing what's working, what's not working, noticing how we feel, noticing what we're believing, noticing where we're holding tension or resistance. And when we start to tune into that, whether it's in our physical body or whether it's mentally or emotionally, when we start to tune in, we can pretty much heal anything. I can't tell you how many guests I've had on this show that have helped people to transition really areas where they were diagnosed that this is going to be a lifelong challenge for you, and they've actually healed their lives completely. It's amazing. So it's possible for you. And, you know, healing, I believe all healing, this is my belief. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but I believe all healing takes place with emotional honesty. I think that's where we allow ourselves to feel fully, so old patterns start to unwind and release. And I can't tell you how many guests I've had on this show that no cause and cure that have shared that exact same belief, that the emotional piece, we carry guilt, shame, remorse, unmanifested desires, you know, wants. We carry emotional triggers and traumas and dramas and everything. If that's being held somewhere energetically within you, it's actually manifesting physically. And that's the bottom line. You know, your outer world is manifesting, I guess, showing you exactly the blueprint of the inner world. So if you don't care for the outer expression, then what we have to do is we have to turn within. And, you know, healing can accelerate when we go into a place of love, of safety and trust within us. And we're going to help you to get there today. You know, sometimes we just have to breathe into that place and reconnect with our innate sense of well-being. It's not in just a few of us. It's in everybody. Everybody has this place, this infinite self that we can tap into. You know, it's the invisible self, right? It's the, you know, we live in a world that we can feel, taste, touch, and smell. That's the outer world. But the inner world is really dictating the outer world. So that's what we're going to talk about. So, you know, if this is a concept that you've embraced in the past and you need some reminders about it, good. You know, if you still need transition, it leaves clues. All right. Clues. What kind of clues? Well, relationships that don't work, you know, anxiety, stress, not being able to sleep, money issues. You know, there's just, we can go on and on, but these are symptoms that something inside needs to shift. And, you know, once we start to shift, we can actually create sustainable healing, not just temporary healing. How many of you have start-stop patterns with your maybe weight gain? I stop-start, right? Or maybe with relationships, you're in one, you're out of one. Or maybe with money, right? You have money, you have none. Start-stop patterns that, again, are expressing perfectly outside so that you can see what needs to shift on the inside. Well, I have a very special guest today that came to me. I had had some information I wanted to get to RFK Jr. And I was able to do that through meeting my guest today. And she's an author. She's a speaker. I'm going to give you a formal introduction in just a minute. But she's a lady that really knows the ways to support you, my audience, to take and make a permanent shift in your life like maybe you've never done before. I know when I read her book, it shifted in me many things. Now I'm living a lot more joyfully as a result of that. So, and I've been on this path for 30 years. So I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we'll have my very special guest. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Candy Foster, and I'm with my very special guest, Karen Laurie. Karen, welcome. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Ken. I'm happy to be here. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. For those of you that don't know Karen, she's not just a best-selling author. She's a force of nature with books like Chronic Pleasure, Effortless Enchantment, and Chronic Pleasure in Relationships. Karen doesn't just write about transformation. She transmits it. Once lighting up scenes as an actress, she now ignites souls as a transformational coach and a speaker. Karen guides people out of the numb fog of stress, pain, and discontent into a life pulsing with ease, vitality, deep, unshakable joy. Her work is a powerful alchemy, fusing cutting-edge neuroscience, expanded consciousness, and heart-based wisdom in a path where love isn't just a feeling, it's a fuel. Boy, do I know that. You're just a spark of love, quite frankly. And I've experienced that several times with the work that inner work that I've been doing with your book, Chronic Pleasure. So Karen, how, I mentioned you and I went on a path, to help me get, with RFK Jr. Thank you again for that. I really appreciate that. You came into my life in a perfect time. And I think if you're listening to this, you're my audience. There's no coincidences in life. You're here at the perfect time to get the messages that are going to be shared today on this show. Karen, why? Why did you get on this path of supporting, people to transform their lives? And writing these books and doing what you do, as a coach, as a speaker, as a trainer.
I studied mind body science when I was at UC Irvine, and I really loved that. My mom had inspired me when I was a kid because she would, every time I wanted to be, stay home from school, she would say, "Honey, did someone hurt your feelings or something happened? Do you have a test?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I have a test and I don't want to go." And she'd say, "Okay. How do you feel now?" And I'd be like, "Dang, I feel better." It was just being honest, like you mentioned, the truth. And that really helped me. It started a lifelong passion about how do we affect our own health, our own physiologies. And the mind-body science really helped. And then I became an actress. And that was a perfect petri dish because as an actress, you have to become a different character. So your mind, your thinking, everything changes.
Yeah.
And so then I sort of abandoned it at a certain point, and my whole body got sicker and sicker. I'd had a lot of trauma and things like that. And my body got really sick. And the only way I could actually heal, I'd been to doctors, I'd been to therapists, I'd been to, all these healers. And the only way I could actually heal was by reconnecting with that mind-body understanding and then bringing in my spirit in a more profound way, and it transformed my whole body. So that's what made me want to share it with other people, because when you have that healing and your whole life changes, you just want everybody to feel as good as they can feel,
Well, it's interesting because I've been on this path for many years, and I know that I've gone into the I would call it the deep dive, the dark soul, where things started manifesting. And, I learned all these beliefs. I learned all the techniques or the ways to transition, to stay positive, to stay up, to manifest wealth, all these things. But at some point, I forgot it. I let it go, or it went away. It wasn't enough at the time. And it took me to another level. It was more a level of getting out of my head and, knowledge of it into realization of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where you went to. So where did the heart come into this for you?
I'd had an experience where I was really young, where something happened that I really didn't like. It had kind of traumatized me, and I came home, and my mom was talking to my grandma, and so my mom couldn't talk to me. She said, "Not now, Karen. I can't talk to you." And I I took that as total rejection. She didn't love me, right? That's how a little kid takes it. And, or at least that's how that little kid took it. And so I had basically felt the steel door clanging down on my heart. And it just was something that I never consciously corrected. And when I was starting on the path of getting healthy, I could feel my heart was closed and that I needed to start practicing opening up. So I practiced multiple times. I put a little alert every 15 minutes in my phone and in my computer to remind me to open my heart. So I just kept opening my heart and opening my heart. And what happened is I realized that the heart, I started looking at all this science about the heart. And the heart is really the pilot of the brain. The heart is actually, the brain is the co-pilot. This is how I perceived it. And when the heart is open, there's a quote from the Little Prince, which I had read when I was in the process of healing, which says, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And that's part of what started me on my path. And I just practiced opening my heart. And part of the things that I did to open it was I started to practice writing that appreciation. I was pretty depressed at this time, and in the chronic pain and the narcolepsy that was on 5 years. I had bipolar, I had panic attacks. So it was a little hard to focus on things that I appreciated. But I sat with a pen and paper because that sort of helped me focus, just having something to write. And I focused on things that I already appreciated naturally. Like I already loved trees. I just loved trees since I was a little kid. So I focused on what I loved about trees. And I talked about how trees have, there's a mother tree and all trees are connected by this mycelium network. And trees provide us oxygen and they take the carbon dioxide and they're beautiful and they give us shade and they're grounding. And, like there's so many things about trees and there's so many different kinds of trees. So I could just literally, oh, I love jacaranda trees. I love those purple and I love, whatever, any other kind of trees. I would just start looking at them. Look at that oak tree. Look at that, this kind of tree. And I would just start thinking about how all those trees are so beautiful. And that's what would start my heart to open. That was how I could open my heart. So I was writing out appreciation multiple times a day because I was so sick and I thought that was the only thing I could do that made me feel better. But as I wrote it, my body started to get more energy because I was, I had this narcolepsy. So I was sleeping 15 times a day, right? My pain in my body started to go away. And it was so profound. That simple act of really starting to appreciate things was the perfect start for me that got me onto this place of really understanding that my heart is important.
Well, appreciation, of course, is a it's an energy, it's a feeling, it's a vibration within us. And so would you say that, as you tuned into appreciation, your energy increased, I guess is what you're saying.
Yes, for sure. My energy increased. My self-esteem increased. I started realizing that the best way for me, I had been meditating for 35 years, but this shift happened maybe 17 or 18 years ago. And that's, I started realizing that I could hear, and I had always heard my spirit better from my heart than from my head. I would get it mixed up in my head. I couldn't tell if it was my spirit or if it was something else. But from my heart, it was a pretty, especially if my heart was open and full of appreciation. I could hear the inner guidance and things. I started to get guided towards eating a different way, not wearing sunscreen, not wearing sunglasses, not just like things to do that were different than what I had been programmed with.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of weird because we kind of unlearn a lot of things. I was just thinking, even myself, I'm in a let go of toothpaste, right? And now I'm doing salt water. I'm doing, I'm not even brushing anymore. I'm doing flossing. I'm doing, an area, what do they call it? The thing that puts the water in your teeth, like a water pick. But it's like, well, that's weird. I taught my whole life that I needed toothpaste, that I needed to brush my teeth. But as soon as I started using that water pick, I do that. I noticed there's a lot more coming out than after I did that. It's like, why am I doing that? It doesn't make sense. So we change weird things up like that. When people laugh and go, oh, no, you can't. But, a lot of this is cultural programming that we're into. And, some companies selling you that, You need to eat their candy, or you need to eat this processed food, or you need to do something that is maybe not so good for your body. So how do you know? Okay, so we went into appreciation. I love that. Listen, I got to take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to talk to you because you're the expert on this. How do we know, when we drop into our heart, what's right for our heart or what's not, what's right for our body, what's not? Let's figure that out. All right, I'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Karen Laurie. I want to remind everybody to, if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And if you are listening, you can go to YouTube later on. You can go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, so that you won't miss any of our shows. Maybe more important, that you also are able to pass them on to people that you care about so that they can also get this amazing information. All right, Karen, we're back. Okay. So, next step here, how do we transition, once we're in this appreciation place, where do we go next? What happens next?
Well, the thing you asked, how do you discern if you're,
yeah, how do you discern? That's what I want to ask you. Yeah.
If you're getting the right message from your heart or not. One of the things I found is if my heart is just partially open, I'm going to distort the message. It's not going to be as clear. It's kind of like if you have a plugs in your ears, it's harder to hear certain things, right? So if my heart is not fully open, I don't even try to get an answer at that point. What I do is I go back into getting my heart open. I find something to appreciate, or I do some other practice that makes me feel really good. And then that, when my heart is open, then it's a little, for me, it feels visceral and auditory. Some people are going to be visual. Some people are going to be more, maybe even scent or taste. But for me, it's like kinesthetic. That's what I mean by visceral and auditory. That's how I'll get my things. And so I'll just literally feel like something's pulling me from my heart, pushing me from behind. Or I hear a thing like, try this. Sometimes I get something visual, but it usually starts with a kinesthetic feeling. And then I see something. So, and then I know the guidance, and it's really the quieter your mind is, which is something that's happened to me. My mind has gotten tranquil. The quieter your mind is, the more accurately you can hear what your heart is telling, the more accurately the mind will allow that to be perceived correctly.
I think stillness is the price we pay for love. I feel that, it, when we get still, I know I can reconnect with the coherence of the universe, and I feel this love drop in as I just get still. First comes peace, but then this comes a sense of love, this sense of connection with everything. And there's a lot of people listening to this show that are like, well, I don't really know how to do that, but I like the fact that in your books that you give practical tools and how to do that. So let's just talk. Let's stay on appreciation for a second. How do people, do they write down what they're appreciative for? Do they think it? And when they wake up, what do you suggest here to stay in appreciation, at least get into that vibration?
Yeah, I first thing in the morning, before you even open your eyes, I would start appreciating. Thank you for however much soup I got. Thank you for the place I slept. Thank you for my pillow or my blankets, whatever you've got. I would just start thanking that. Thank you for my heart working for me all night. Thank you for my lungs working for me all night. Thank you for my body, every cell, doing its job while I slept. Thank you so much. And then sometime in the morning, if you can, as I go outside first, I brush my teeth with coconut oil. I go outside first and get some sunlight on my body, and then I either stay outside depending on the weather or come back inside and I write out appreciation. And the way that it works, like I have clients that have had, so much trauma, and I have trauma too. So like the client the other day, she was like, you know, I don't even know how to appreciate it. You're so good at it. And I said, well, where do you have automatic appreciation? And she started talking about, oh, when my husband and I, when we're together sexually, oh my God, it's just so amazing. And it's this and that. So you can appreciate that. It's already started for her. And she said, and I worked for this company where I traveled all over the world and I got to meet people and work in soup kitchens all over the world. And he was like, so those people that you met, that's an already something that you felt good about, right? That you already had a natural level of appreciation. So start there. And then once you get started there, now you can go in when your heart is overflowing with that love, when you feel that sense of connection that Ken was talking about with everyone and everything, then you can start doing more creative stuff. Like you can start designing who you are. For example, that phrase, I am, most people use that phrase in a way that doesn't serve them. But if you start to consciously use that I am phrase with the things that you actually want to be, I wouldn't do it until you're in that place where your heart is wide open, because then you'll also be receiving from your heart this wisdom about who you really are. It's not something like I feel like I've written out I ams, but a lot of it has been about listening to what my heart or my spirit has said I am that I wouldn't have thought of. That's what's so interesting. So I make sure I'm in a place where my heart is open, usually by thinking of things to appreciate that I'm already good at appreciating. And then I start to do something like the I am practice where I focus on I am and I'm listening inside. So I'm thinking I am and I'm going to a deeper place than what my logic and mind I've been programmed with will tell me.
You got several books out there. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. You have several books out there. The one that I have read, listened to is called Chronic Pleasure. And if my audience is going, well, where should I start? Where should I start, Karen? Because you can go to Amazon and get any of Karen's books. But quite frankly, that Chronic Pleasure book transformed me. And it transformed me. I'm pretty good at staying up and getting my vibe going and staying in a good place. But I don't know, the holidays hit me heavy, and I just spun down, kind of, boy, when I was reading that book and just remembering, who I am and staying appreciative and going, it lifted me completely into another level. So. Anyway, back to you. Which one would you start with?
Would start with the chronic pleasure, and it is on Audible. I'll give a link at the end of this so that people can download them for free.
Okay.
But I will say that the Audible one, people like it. It's easier, it's easier than reading. So it's on Audible, chronic pleasure. That's the only one on Audible. I still have the other two to narrate, but I will do that soon. But a lot of people have told me from the audiobook, especially, but from the physical book too. But in the audiobook, they've said that they can really feel the love in my voice because I narrate it. And that's why I wanted to narrate it. The publisher said, you can't narrate your own book. And I was like, yes, I can.
Well, yeah, and I'll vouch for that. That's, again, it's a transmission of energy is what I would say. And so we're feeling your energy, your vibration, that frequency that you've tuned into. And when I would hear that, it would just drop me right into that frequency. And when I'm in that place, in that energy, in an open and receptive and loving place, it's pretty amazing because it's wonderful to connect in the practice of the book. But then what happens is miracles, magic, and synchronicities start showing up in my life again and again when I'm in that frequency. So for me, I'm always looking to stay there, and you do a wonderful job of bringing that to us.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. Your heart starts to get more open. You start feeling better because you're thinking of who you really want to be and you're ascribing that to yourself. And you might be playing other games. I have a ton of little fun games people can play in the book. In the books. Well, in that first book, I give the foundation and then the other two books go off that foundation. But what happens is the universe starts responding. For example, one of the things that I wanted just recently, I just found out yesterday, I wanted to go, I've been wanting to learn how to see without a blindfold on. With a blindfold on, so that to see beyond what so I can see beyond what my eyes can see.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at these different classes, but they all, the first part of what these classes teach are all things about getting into alignment. And that's how I wake up. I just wake up happy now. My subconscious is in agreement with everything. My subconscious is in agreement with my spirit, my subconscious, my emotions, my body, everything is working in alignment with my spirit. And so I don't need to get more aligned to do stuff. I already know it's possible. I already know that I can, that I believe it. Anyway, I kind of won a little lottery with a couple hundred people, and only 11 get to go to meet this woman who's, people have tried to find out if she could, you know, if she was fake, and she hasn't been found fake. So, and I get to have just a time. It's not a class, but it's like a time to just like get to know her on a farm in Virginia. So I think it'll be really fun. So like, that's something that just happened, and only 11 people. And I was just so excited and so thrilled. So like, things start to happen, and that's something I had wanted, and now it's coming true, you know, and things constantly, they come true over and over and over and over, especially when your mind is receptive to your heart and your heart is full of love. So way to go.
Well, you know, it's been my experience that, when you tune into the frequency of all possibility, that things that we don't think are possible show up for us, and we show up for us in a consistent manner. And the first step of that is going into a place of, I would say, I want to say courage. We got to step into courage, but we also need to step into a place of faith and holding a place of faith within us that it's possible. Because I know for many years, I thought a lot of things weren't possible because I really live from the outside in, not the inside out. But when we make that shift, then things start to show up in ways that are kind of beyond belief, like you with the, you know, I think I want to see, and then with a blindfold on, and now that this, I'm going to Virginia on a farm, and you know, it's like, well, how does all that happen?
Right.
Well, it happens because beneath the surface of all of these physical things, there's a whole nother energy field going on that's manifesting for our highest and best all the time.
Yes, I call it the inner net.
The internet. Yeah, I love that. Internet. Yes.
Yeah, the internet. And the internet knows, you know, internet knows everything you want, yeah, and it knows the path to get it. I don't have to figure out how to get it. I just know what I want. And then the universe sets it up. I have a whole bunch of Facebook posts that I used to do. I haven't written them as much, but I could still do them. You know, I wanted this. I did nothing. It came true. I have that so many times. All I do is have the desire, open my heart, be in a place of appreciation, and then things happen. But the other thing is, I don't believe anything is impossible anymore. Yeah. I mean, I have levitated. I've bent spoons with my mind. I have talked to dead people. I've done remote viewing without knowing that I was doing it. You know, like there's so many things that are going on some level that is unbelievable. And when you get to that, it's crazy. So that thing about faith that you said, it's so important. And the way I look at faith is that faith to me is shining your light, even when the world doesn't give you a reason to shine. Mm.
Yeah. I love that. That's a wonderful place to be. And, you know, in that vibration and that energy, manifestation, I don't think it's not about thinking. It's about feeling. It's about stepping into the reality of who we really are. And I think a lot of people have that confused, Karen. I think people think they're their houses, they're their cars, they're their relationships, they're their bodies, they're their minds, and we're so much more than that. But people don't really get that. So I know you studied NDA a lot. You know, and so maybe you can talk a little bit about that near-death experiences and how that relates back to our true self, so that we can start to connect deeper with that and not really understand that piece. to be able to, like you said, you know, there's nothing impossible anymore.
Yeah, I am. I had an accident where I was flung from a spinnaker. I didn't have enough weight to balance the, I was supposed to do spinnaker flying where you have a little seat and you sit in it. And I was in Hawaii and I didn't have enough weight and gusting winds. And the sail went above the 65-foot mast and whipped me onto my back. And I went deep down and we were out past the part of the volcano. So it's 2 miles deep or whatever it is right outside the volcano part of Hawaii. And I drowned. And, you know, I was going deep, deep down and it was completely, I probably had a concussion. The next day my back was black and blue all up and down my spine. And I couldn't breathe and I was, you know, I was dying. And I felt, but I didn't have any energy at a certain point. I was just down. I was 18 years old and I felt this feeling of being drawn into this light that was so profound and so beautiful. And the light felt like total acceptance, total love. And like there were energies there that knew me, that I knew, even though I didn't know who they were. And it was so inviting and so loving. And then I heard this voice that said, and this is all underwater. I heard this voice that said, do you want to live or die? And I thought of my mom and I thought, I want to live. I thought it would hurt her too much if her daughter just drowned, you know, off the coast of Hawaii. That would not be good, you know? And so I thought of my mom and somehow without me, I didn't even know where up was because it's so black down there. It's so black. I must have gone down pretty deep, but all of a sudden it literally felt there was rocket fuel under my feet. And I literally was pushed up to the top. I still couldn't breathe because I'd swallowed water and my diaphragm had been like shocked. So it wasn't working, but I'm up above the water. And then somebody was throwing a life vest from the boat, but it was big waves. They shouldn't have had anybody going spinnaker flying that day. There was big waves and there was, you know, it was just really far from me. So I started to die again. I started to go back down and give up. And then again, that voice said, do you want to live or die? And I again thought of my mom and I still hadn't breathed. I probably didn't breathe for 9 or 10 minutes. I thought of my mom again. And now I don't even know how it happened, but I got onto that life preserver. That they had, there was like a, you know, those circles that float. And I somehow got to that across these big waves and maybe 30 feet away without any air still. And then he climbed up the boat with me on his shoulder. And then they had to pump my stomach. Then they had to give me mouth to mouth. And then I finally took my first breath after maybe 9 or 10 minutes. And, I don't even know, maybe longer. I don't know. But, that understanding of that love, that acceptance, and that choice was something that really, when I looked back on it, when my heart was more open and I started looking back on it, I was like, oh, we always have choice. We have choice if we want to be healthy. We have choice if we want to live. And then I started seeing more and more people who made choices either to let go and die or to be alive, even in the midst of terrible diseases. And I started to see there's so much evidence that we have all this choice. And that's kind of what helped me the most with that experience. And I've had a couple of them actually, but that experience of really feeling that total love, that's what to me, I think that's what death is total love, total acceptance, and totally being known and understood and accepted at the same time. And then we always have a choice. Those things are what really impacted me after that. After I understood what the NDE was, I didn't even know what it was at the time I had it because I'd never heard of that, you know.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I had this experience recently where I just saw, everybody in the world, and myself included, just playing these roles, you know, just like, we're just playing these roles. We're dancing, we're doing this thing. You know, we got these body suits on. When we're done with these, we put on another body suit if we choose. You know, and yet a lot of times I think we really have forgotten who we are. That's the key. You know, myself included in that, right? Forget who I am sometimes, right? But when you have these, like an NDA, like a near-death experience like you had, it seems like it's seated more in you that you realize you're not this body. You're something much greater than that. Would you say that's true or not?
I think you can get that without the NDA.
Yeah.
I've done that. I don't think people need to die to it.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not choosing any NDAs in my life. Thank you.
Right. I think we can do that by getting into a real alignment or real stillness, yeah, like you were talking about.
Yeah. You know,
even before I understood the stuff that I understand now, I would meditate and I wouldn't know the difference of where I was and where the air was and where the chair was. I just lost complete awareness and I was in this cocoon of love that was so profound and so obvious, so palpable. And this was something that was just from meditation. You know, I would meditate 2 hours twice a day at the time. So I was into it. But you know, the other thing is, like, when you get your subconscious trained, so our subconscious is basically like a tape recorder and it takes in everything we're programmed with as little kids and throughout our lives until you get conscious and decide to program it in a way that's effective. And that emotional state, because the part that gets programmed is not our logical mind. Our logical mind, just the part that gets programmed is the mammalian brain, the reptilian brain. Those are the parts that get programmed. So you have to deal with it on a deeper level than logic. And I think that's what you're talking about. That emotional thing is so key. It's an emotional component. There's a spiritual. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean something religious. I mean, it could be religious. I'm just saying for me, it's whatever it is that is, you know, created everything that exists and births stars and brings light in the sun, in the form of the sun. You know, that kind of energy is flowing in us and through us all the time. I always feel like we are God in drag. We are just, we are all God dressed up in, you know, these suits.
Yeah. Well, I would say that it's the subconscious in coherence with the superconscious. And so that subconscious is that we're, you know, there's a choice, the subconscious, like I'm choosing bliss and joy and love and wealth and abundance. And I'm holding that space. I'm holding that energy in my subconscious. And that aligns with something inside that superconscious that's already there. It's already created. We're just remembering it and holding it in consciousness. And then it expands. And then it starts to show up in our lives. Yeah. That's how I experience. That's how I talk about it. You know, there's different ways to talk about this. But.
For sure. And I would just say, I can say I'm love and I'm bliss, but if I feel it and say it,
yeah,
it's into the part of the brain, the subconscious that needs to be, that's been trained. You know, when you think about it, you have a trauma, which is big emotion, and that trauma informs you and you make choices based on that trauma in a negative way. Yeah. You take the other thing by creating a big emotion and then creating the belief systems that you want to have. On the others, you know,
yeah. Well, you're 100% right. Just to say it in your head and think it in your head is you know, it's one part of it. But to drop down into your heart and to feel it, and to feel it as already accomplished, to feel that place where you're there, you feel the joy, you feel the happiness. That's where it really starts to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In your heart, where you feel it in your feet, where you feel it in your knees, where you feel it in your hips, everywhere. Yeah. You know, your whole body is capable of being an antenna for these incredible consciousness states.
So listen, you know, we started out with, you know, we can pretty much heal anything, right? So what I want to say here is that we're talking some of the principles of being able to heal anything, right? So it's like, it's hard when you're in pain to feel joy and to feel, you know, help, love and that, but it's a place where you start, in appreciation, what Karen started, just appreciate everything, your body, what it's doing right now, how it's helping you learn to grow, to evolve. You may go, I don't like my body right now. Well, just appreciate it anyway, okay, because you're here. And it starts there. And then you can start to raise up your consciousness. And then you can start to feel like, well, what would it feel like? What's it going to feel like when I'm completely healthy again, And that's where we go, right? That's where we drop in. Karen's book is, again, Chronic Pleasure. She's got several of them out there. You can get them on Amazon. And you can also get them on Audible. And Karen, you said you're going to give a link to everybody that they could download one for free. You want to go ahead and give that?
Yes. Chronic Pleasure, so Chronic Pleasure, Pleasure, book, single book, .com. ChronicPleasureBook.com. You can download all three books or just one or whatever you want. And yeah, they're free.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we got about a minute to go. Final thoughts for you, for my audience that's listening to you right now.
Yeah. One of the things I would suggest is that we separate our emotions from our body and from our life experiences until they get into alignment. Meaning, if my body's in pain, I want to separate and just focus on things that feel good emotionally until my body starts to really get flooded. And then I can now appreciate my body in an easier way. I still will appreciate my body if I'm that, but I'm separating myself from it. So my emotions and my thoughts are separate from my body. Most people, when they get sick, they feel bad emotionally. And I'm saying separate it so you can have the choice through your heart and through your mind to create something new. If I get sick, it's for like an hour, like it's nothing anymore, So I know how to separate it. That's really true.
Yeah. And that's really a key. And, in the book, you talk about, the antidote to pain is pleasure. And, when you really understand the depth of what Karen's talking about there, it starts to raise your energy, your frequency, your vibration, and you start to heal. I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this will work for you. It works for everybody. Karen, thank you so much for being here. I truly am honored to have you as my guest here, and love to have you back anytime.
Thank you so much, Ken, and thank you everybody who tuned in. I appreciate you all. So beautiful. Thank you. I really appreciate it.